You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we are back. It is Tuesday, July 27th, and training camp is here. It's refreshing and it's something we've been waiting for a long time. The first full team practice for Baltimore kicks off tomorrow on July 28th. But here to talk about training camp as well as the Ravens' newest addition and potential maybe additions is Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. Spencer, we're right at the beginning of it. Football season, this is the week it is officially back. How are you doing today?
Doing quite well. You can smell the fresh cut grass. You can smell the lines being painted, all that good stuff. Football is back and it's the best time of the year. So I'm excited. I can't wait to get to it and let this preseason get underway in a couple weeks here. So it's going to be a fun August and I can't wait.
Yeah, it is going to be a fun August. And the Ravens still are trying to round out their roster, getting depth ready for a training camp in the preseason. And that showed on Monday when they worked out three pass rushers, former third overall pick Deion Jordan, also Shalit Calhoun and Chris Smith. And then it was reported just a couple hours after that fact that the team had actually signed Chris Smith, the 7-year veteran. He's played for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Cleveland Browns, the Las Vegas Raiders. 9.5 sacks total through 7 years, 72 combined tackles, along with some forced fumbles in there as well. So, you know, maybe you can learn a bit or two from Marlon Humphrey in order to get a little more of them. But Spencer, this seems like a signing that isn't going to have a major impact on what the Ravens end up doing with their roster. If he performs well in training camp and during the preseason, you know, maybe that they want to keep him around a bit. But what was your initial reaction to this signing when it was first announced?
Well, you like to see them bringing in some pass rushers, a group that is curious. I would say the three most uncertain areas in the Ravens depth chart are their rush depth at outside linebacker, their safety depth behind Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott. And then at right tackle, the depth there, you know, Tyree Phillips possibly, or Andre Smith, or, you know, a UDFA, or perhaps hopefully, you know, something comes to fruition there. But you're happy to see them bring in some NFL talent that has seen action. Smith ends up being a guy who, he's a shorter gentleman. He has natural leverage. 6'1", has a 34-inch arm length, 34 1/4, so he's low to the ground with really long arms. He is an edge-setting type. He is a physical specimen when you see him. He's a pretty ripped dude. So you're thinking he's going to be on that rush side, on that, you know, strong side, battling to really stonewall the edge, battle tight ends and all that good stuff. So it's going to be someone to, you know, maybe test Jalen Ferguson and get in there and mix it up, see if they can have an able body in case, you know, an unfortunate event happens. In training camp, Pernell McPhee, a much older player who has had a lot of wear and tear on his body, has had some notable injuries and needs to be kept on a pitch count. So I like to see the Ravens proactively seeking depth with veterans that have seen NFL action. Smith is, I believe he was second team all SEC at Arkansas, had like 8.5 sacks and 9.5 sacks to close out his career. So had some sack production there. He's never really found a starting role. He's a fifth round pick, but someone who should be able to set a sturdy edge, get some hustle sacks if needed. And I'm not sure if he's going to make the team. I would look at it kind of like a Shane Ray signing from a couple of years ago, but Smith has managed to hang on in the NFL a little bit more and has played significantly more than Shane Ray, who really fell off and was just not able to really find his rhythm. He's now playing in the CFL. So good for him. But Smith ultimately is going to be someone that tests for that sixth spot along with Aaron Adoye and Chauncey Rivers, and seeing if the Ravens want to keep six outside linebackers versus, you know, other places on the team. And it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. I'm excited to see what he can do, get him in right before camp. And who knows? I mean, he could be cut in a couple of days. He could end up making the roster and anything in between. So for Smith, an opportunity for the Ravens, some depth throughout the preseason and training camp process. And ultimately, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've paid a ton of attention to Chris Smith, who I would say has probably played less than maybe 1500 snaps at the NFL level, if I had to guess, but he's stuck around. So he's got a professional air to him and should be able to come in and fit the bill of someone who has played in about 68 games, I believe. And, you know, never has only had two starts in his career, but keeps getting paid to be a football player. So we'll see how it ends up.
Yeah, absolutely. And Spencer, the other two guys that the Ravens worked out, you know, at this point, it's pretty unlikely that they'll be signed, in Deion Jordan and Shalik Calhoun. Both of those guys, you know, stand a bit taller than Chris Smith, 6'6" for Jordan and 6'4" for Calhoun. When you looked at the three of these guys together, did you take away anything from that in terms of what kinds of guys the Ravens are looking for when they are maybe considering adding a pass rusher like they did with Smith or two here before training camp and the preseason starts?
It looked like it was just guys that are still available. They're cheap and looking to, you know, guys that have had some NFL usage and will be able to hustle, work their tail off, want to earn a roster spot, and have been able to be professionals. It was, you know, depth type guys, rotational type guys. And they ended up looking to a body type that they probably only have with McPhee and someone that has long arms, low center of gravity, and can probably fight on the edge to set the edge and crash inside. So it's, you know, unique bodies. Deion Jordan, much taller, much longer, much faster, but ultimately just a couple different guys who are looking for an opportunity. I would imagine their agents respectively had something to do with them all being brought in. And clearly the Ravens had kind of a decision where they looked at, you know, camp starting in a couple of days and thinking, all right, we need more depth in that outside linebacker room. We need bodies for camp to give our offense and our scout team offense and our third offense looks. So they needed some bodies. They brought three in and they decided to go with Smith. And I would have to think it's just because he probably has had the most consistent career and is going to be the one who is sturdy against the run. And it feels like the Ravens are at a point with their edge rushers where they kind of value play against the run and some versatility a little bit more than being like a dynamic pass rusher, which we're going to talk about a dynamic pass rusher whose name is available, who has come up in some trade talks recently. But for the cheap, they wanted to bring in someone who is looking to earn themselves a roster spot. And ultimately, three guys come in, one man prevails, and we will see how serious that was or if it was just for camp depth.
Yeah, and when you look at this signing, Spencer, I know that some people have voiced their concerns about it potentially getting in the way of another signing if the Ravens were to go that route. I know a name that has been talked about a lot is Justin Houston. Olivier Vernon's out there as well. Do you think that this signing, you know, makes it any less likely that the Ravens would go after someone in free agency like a Houston or like an Olivier Vernon? Or is this, again, just more of that depth, as you mentioned?
I don't think it makes them less likely. I think you're looking at, you know, trying to bring in, let's say, a Kyle Rudolph versus trying to bring in a Billy Bajema or blanking on some tight ends names, but a lower level tight end. So I don't think that one precludes you from the other. It's a matter of depth versus guys who are going to be taking snaps in games. And you want someone that you're comfortable with to play in case of injury or to come in and compete for a spot. But that's not going to end the notion of being satisfied with who is on the field at your highest level. If one of the Ravens starters is to go down and, you know, you got to put Chris Smith out there, that's one thing. But if you're not happy with who your starters are, that's a different conversation. So I believe between those two avenues, Smith is not going to rule out the Ravens making a move at edge in some way. They did it last year with Ngakoue, and, you know, maybe that's not what they needed necessarily in order to make a run, but it didn't backfire as well. So ultimately, if you feel that you're one player away, if you feel that you're a Justin Houston away from being a Super Bowl contending team or a Chandler Jones or a Derek Barnett or someone else who's in the final year of their contract and looking for another opportunity, perhaps, then you're going to make that move. And Chris Smith isn't going to be the guy who ends that, but he could end up surprising and pleasantly, you know, being a nice rotational player for you, which would be great in the regular season. But I don't know that he's going to be the one being a driving force or an X factor in January when the Ravens are trying to, you know, fight through getting past the divisional round.
Right. To me, this signals more of a guy who could potentially contribute if he makes the team in some positive ways, but he's not necessarily that needle mover as someone like a Houston or another pass rusher we'll be talking about in the second segment. So we're going to head into our first break now. But when we get back, we'll be talking about that pass rusher and if the Ravens could pull off a trade for him. So stay tuned for that and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB and all of UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs of the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we are back with our second segment of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher here with Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, the NFL world got a little bit of shocking news on Sunday as it was reported that Chandler Jones, the stud pass rusher currently of the Arizona Cardinals, had requested a trade at some point during the 2021 offseason. He's been unhappy with his contract, and it's still expected, at least it's been reported that it's still expected, that he is going to report to training camp, and the Cardinals don't want to trade him. But it got some gears turning in many people's minds, especially, I think, with Ravens fans and Ravens people who cover the team. Chandler Jones is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL when healthy. And I say when healthy because in 2020, he had a biceps injury that only allowed him to play in 5 games. He only had a sack. But over his last 3 healthy seasons, so from 2017 to 2019, 49 total sacks. He is a dynamic player off of the edge. But again, you know, it's questions of the contract. It's also questions of how much he would cost to acquire in terms of draft capital. So Spencer, starting off with the player that Chandler Jones is, if this situation does happen, and I'm not saying it will, but if it does, what would Chandler Jones bring to the Baltimore Ravens defense? And is he that needle mover that the Ravens would need at the edge rusher position?
Well, first off, I just want to say how funny it is that Chandler Jones has this. It's been some disdain kind of publicly for a couple months now about his contract situation, but it just goes to show by comparison, you know, the Aaron Rodgers saga kind of comes to an end around the same time, and how truly quarterback driven the NFL is, that league is, that Chandler Jones, and a several time all pro, one of the best pass rushers of his generation, you know, is kind of becoming available, and it gets talked about for a day or two. And then Aaron Rodgers kind of ends this saga, and it's everywhere. So it's just funny to me how quarterback motivated the league has become. And it's kind of always been that way, but every year it grows more and more. But getting into your question and what Chandler Jones would bring. So last year I did cover the Cardinals as one of my assigned teams for Sports Info Solutions. And he did not look explosive. He did not threaten tackles. He did not look the same as he did in years past. He ends up having a biceps injury that happened in game. But other than that, I just think that he wasn't right last year. Didn't have a clean bill of health. Did not look the same at all. So it's a difficult evaluation in some ways. You have to really be plugged in and do more homework than two guys who are talking on podcasts. I'm sure the Ravens would know a lot better than we would, or any other NFL front office would know what his health is like right now. And I'm sure, you know, with a trade and him being older, you know, he's in the best shape of his life, quote unquote. But he didn't look the same last year, plain and simple. He wasn't a threat. I was really surprised because I hadn't truly studied him a ton. I had watched some highlights from time to time and, you know, seen him in passing when I'm watching games on Sundays or Mondays and things like that. So when I got the Cardinals as one of my assigned teams that I had to cover, I was really excited to watch every single snap that he took multiple times and break down someone who's one of the best, you know, well-rounded pass rushers of his generation, a guy who plays with power, who can win with, you know, some get off and just has all the right angles and is a beast. There's an awesome video I love of him where he's hitting a tackling sled in practice and he just absolutely breaks the sled in half because he has shock in his hands. He has force in his hands. He plays against the run really well. And I think one of the more underrated aspects of Chandler Jones's career is that, especially, you know, he's playing in New England and then through Arizona, he has amassed 307 coverage snaps, which you know, dating back to 2012, it doesn't sound like a lot. It's 303 from 2012 to 2019. Last year only played four as he missed a good bit of games, but he is someone who's adept at, you know, spot dropping a little bit, doing some versatile things, and the kind of player that excels in the systems like New England or Miami or Baltimore, where you're asking that triple threat of those outside linebackers. So I think that would definitely be an interesting aspect. He's never been, you know, a dominant run defender, but he certainly is a formidable run defender and can make plays. You're going to rely on him to get his assignment, get his job done. On that strong side, he is going to be a strong side rush player for, especially if he were to come to the Ravens. And then when you're talking in terms of pass rushing, what he absolutely does best is the most pop in hands, and combining that with the string of pass rush IQ and understanding how to set tackles up and angles and things like that. Since Terrell Suggs, by far, if he were to join the Ravens, he would be the most advanced rusher, would probably be, you know, one of the strongest outside linebackers in terms of straight bull rush and hands placement and able to drive tackles back on their heels that the Ravens would have ever had if they were able to trade for him. And it boils down to this again. It's a conversation that we've had about multiple players over the past couple of years, but if Chandler Jones, if you look at this Ravens team and perhaps it goes a couple weeks into the season and you look at this Ravens team and you say, man, this is a damn good team, but they're just missing a pass rusher. They're missing a power pass rusher that can play through, that can collapse the pocket and knows how to finish. And you feel that that is Chandler Jones. You have to go get him. You absolutely have to go get him. However, that's kind of what it felt like last year with Yannick Ngakoue. And albeit Ngakoue is not, you know, now we're talking about injury and all kinds of things, but Chandler Jones from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, Chandler Jones from every year except for last year is a better pass rusher than Yannick Ngakoue. He can win through inside and around a little bit more balanced. Ngakoue has better get off. Ngakoue can run around the arc, run the hoop, whatever you want to call it, a little quicker, better get off, is a better speed rusher, but is not nearly as devastating from a you know, balanced three-pronged attack as a pass rusher as Chandler Jones. So the Ravens go out and get Yannick Ngakoue last year. The problem was the Ravens weren't a Yannick Ngakoue away from winning a Super Bowl. They were good offensive line play and a steady perimeter receiver that knew what he was doing away from maybe being able to play for a Super Bowl. So it's hard to say, oh yeah, you know, we got to go out. We got to go get that guy, the Ravens front office. We got to go get that power rusher. When you're looking at a team that has had a historically great defense, has had top defenses in the last couple of years, you've got Calais Campbell up front, Derek Wolfe up front, Justin Madubuike up front. You just drafted a first-round edge rusher who you do want to get some snaps. He's younger. He's a little inexperienced relatively, only played football for about 6 years, but you drafted in the first round. Players that are drafted in the first round need to play their rookie year. That's kind of my pedestal of what I consider a guy that I take in the first round. I want them to be playing heavy rotational or starter snaps as a rookie. Quarterback is a different conversation, but aside from quarterback, I want that guy to be on the field. So you look at Owe, you look at a Jalen Ferguson, you look at Tyus Bowser, see what he's able to do playing, you know, 40, 50, 60 snaps a game instead of 20, 30, 40 snaps a game. And if this offensive line is solid, if the receiving core is upgraded and it's what you need and you're offensively getting it done, but you're just simply not getting pressure, you're completely flaking out. Let's say the Ravens have an injury up front and you feel like, man, this team is one Chandler Jones away from really making a deep run in the playoffs. And this could be the year. This feels special if we go get Chandler Jones. You owe it to yourself to go do that in the last year of Lamar being cheap. You know, this contract could be coming any day, but as we saw last year, Mahomes' first year cap hit was like $9 million. And of course, you know, you can take money with you. So there's a whole other conversation, but the best course of action, in my opinion, is to give Jalen Ferguson, give Odafe away, give Tyus Bowser, even a little bit of Dalen Hayes, and give them a little bit of run and see what you have through the first month of the season. And if you're not happy with your defensive front, with your outside linebackers after about week 4, 5, 6, then hey, you know, let's see where the Cardinals are. Are they 4-5 or I guess like 3-5 or are they, you know, 6-1? You're not getting them away if they're 6-1. Are the Broncos doing well? Are they struggling? Von Miller in a contract year, you know, their defense is really outstanding, but quarterback play, we'll see what happens there. Playing a really tough division. Maybe they're, you know, 2-5. So looking around the NFL, the Eagles, not expected to be a great team. Of course, they could be competitive. Derek Barnett. So there's other options. And of course, as you've mentioned on the show many times, we've talked about many times, Justin Houston, who one of the best pure pass rushers in the NFL still. I just saw something on Next Gen Stats. He was one of three players to be in the top five in the NFL in pressures on third down and in pressure rate, or, you know, efficiency metric on third down as well. So he can still bring it on third down, kind of similar to Yannick Ngakoue. You know, maybe you don't need him right now. Maybe he signs somewhere else for a team that is desperate, and maybe he signs with, let's say, the Panthers or the Jags or somewhere around the NFL, and he ends up being a player that is still getting it done on a team that is not getting it done. You can absolutely go acquire him, and all those would be a lot cheaper towards the trade deadline. Chandler Jones is a $15.5 million salary. So it's just tough to imagine the Cardinals and Steve Keim, who kind of feels like he's fighting for his job every year and never really has time to let rookies develop and, you know, or let his draft picks develop, I should say, and things like that. It's difficult to be the Cardinals and in their shoes and in Steve Keim's shoes and look and say, all right, I got to get rid of Chandler Jones right now. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get draft picks for him. They've got to win. Kingsbury's got to win. They need to make a serious playoff push. They need to have a winning record. You know, they're getting deep into their tenure here, Keim and Kingsbury. So ultimately, you've got Kyler Murray on a rookie contract who is uber talented. Does he have some deficiencies? Yes. Is he insanely talented at the same time? Also, yes. So it's just tough to look and say, okay, Chandler Jones is a little pissed with his contract situation. Yeah, the Cardinals are just going to offload him. If they decide to, I would think the compensation is somewhere around a second rounder, maybe a third and a fifth or a second and a fourth, somewhere, you know, similar to Julio Jones kind of compensation, older player, all pro caliber player, coming off a little injury. I would say Julio is definitely more of a difference maker for sure still at this point. But again, I don't know what Chandler Jones' health situation is. I don't know what his physical condition is right now, but he's one of the best players of his era of football, of his generation. He's done it on multiple teams. So I'm sure that it would be really fun for him to reunite with Calais Campbell, to come to a system where it's diverse and he's going to get schemed up some rushes. And, you know, you got a couple guys there at that point that you can't, in a perfect world, I would way rather have Chandler Jones than not if I'm the Baltimore Ravens. But in the end, he's expensive. The Cardinals might not want to deal him. And it's ultimately not up to Chandler Jones or to the Ravens. It's up to Steve Keim. And if Jones is going to hold out, that changes things drastically if he becomes, you know, a little cancerous to the locker room. But the Ravens don't really love bringing those guys in, especially after Earl Thomas, it feels like. But I don't think that's the type of guy Chandler Jones is. But hey, if it is to happen, it would be incredible. I'm a big John Bones Jones fan, and his brother Arthur Jones also won a Super Bowl with the Ravens back in 2013. So it would be really cool to see Chandler Jones hopefully do the same if they do make a move for him. And it would require some reshuffling cap-wise and moving some things around. But like they say, if you want the guy, you've got the room. And we've seen that happen many times. The Ravens aren't, you know, $1 million over the cap. They've got a little bit of money. They could absolutely extend him, but then you're talking, you know, you got to extend to Sean Elliott and Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews and a lot of younger guys. So you did just draft Adafe away. And I just don't think that the Ravens are going to end up being one pass rusher away from a Super Bowl. I think the onus is going to rely on this offense a lot more. I think we saw an offseason that had to do a lot more with the wide receivers and the offensive line, and maybe a little bit of a paradigm shift from this whole narrative that, number one, Wink Martindale is, you know, maybe the best defensive coordinator in football, but at the same time, he had the most expensive defense in the NFL last year. So if you've got the best coordinator in football, you know, I'm looking at Robert Saleh and what he did in San Francisco. They had a ton of injuries. They were signing guys off the street and still a, you know, top 10 DVOA defense. So if the Ravens now have like the seventh most expensive defense in football, you still got top shelf corners and some, you know, you've got some formidable forces, some first round picks are across the board and some players that are on second contracts. So I would rather see the Ravens really focus offensively. And I think that's what it's ultimately going to come down to, is if the Ravens offense is able to really carry the load and take a little bit of pressure off of the defense this year. And I think it is a paradigm shift. So in the end, I don't see it happening. It would be awesome. It would be really fun. Chandler Jones is a great player, but he's quite expensive. And if it's to happen, I think you're looking at a situation where the Cardinals are deep underwater towards the trade deadline and the Ravens can get him for cheap. And it's a different kind of situation. So it's a tough, winding road, but in the end, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it does seem more realistic that Jones would be a target for them towards the trade deadline. But I will say that, you know, if the stuff is similar in terms of compensation, this might be a bit of a hot take. I think that Chandler Jones would be a more worthwhile acquisition than Julio Jones would have been if both are completely healthy. And that isn't a knock on Julio Jones or anything. He's one of the greatest receivers ever, really. But what you have is a position right now that doesn't have a lot of pass rushing prowess or proven pass rushing prowess. Now that could all change and Tyus Bowser comes out and is a 20 sack guy. You know, maybe it happens, probably not, but you know, Bowser's going to get more opportunity. Ferguson's going to get more opportunity, but putting a guy like Jones in this Ravens defense, I mean, you mentioned it, Spencer, he is a versatile player and he's someone who could be a needle mover for them. But we're going to head into our final break now. And when we get back, we're going to be getting into some training camp battles. So stay tuned for that and we'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Ainsbit, while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How'd you hear about us, box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We are back with our final segment of this Taco Tuesday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher here with Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown. And Spencer, 2021 training camp for the Ravens, it's going to be a really important one for a lot of guys on this roster, an important one for the Ravens decision makers as well, as they're going to have to make some tough decisions all across the board on offense, on defense. What are some training camp battles, a couple of positions that you like and are looking forward to watching?
I am looking forward to the tight end three. I'm looking forward to the safety three and four. I'm looking forward to see what happens at the bottom of the receiver room. You think Tylan Wallace is a lock and it comes down to Boykin and Prochet versus the field, or Boykin versus Prochet versus the field. I'm looking to the back end of the corner room. And ultimately the one that excites me the most is kind of just seeing Adafi Owe in action. He is the piece that I'm most curious about in this entire puzzle. I think that he can be an absolute matchup issue for tight ends, who is capable of really stonewalling them and beating them up in the run game with his explosiveness, with his length, with his strength. And he was very apt in the run game at Penn State. So he's a guy that I'm looking at, and I'm looking at kind of the rush position in general between him and McPhee and what's going to happen there. So that's something that definitely really excites me. And frankly, I'm just really excited to see the way last year's rookies lighted up in this preseason or not. James Prochet going to get a ton of snaps. Devin Duvernay probably going to get a good bit of snaps. Patrick Queen is going to get some time. You know, I don't know if in preseason necessarily, but he'll definitely have some action against the Carolina Panthers and scrimmages. And he'll get more of a full offseason experience. He's now a 22-year-old, so still so young. Came on really strong towards the end of the season after he had a really rough middle patch there and the kind of midpoint way of the season with the Patriots and some other games there. So really excited for those guys and how that's all going to shake out. And finally, you know, that left guard position, that's going to be a battle. And I think that Tyree Phillips is absolutely underrated unless the Ravens kind of anoint him tackle three, which I think could be likely. But you're looking at a guy who is the only offensive lineman to start week one as a rookie, aside from Ronnie Stanley, in the past decade for the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that speaks to how they feel about Tyree Phillips and what his ability was. He has had some more time. He looks to have been training a good bit and reshaped his body a little bit. So it's an exciting competition. Of course, Ben Cleveland and Ben Powers and Ben Bredesen and a litany of other options. They also have Schofield that they brought in as a veteran, and he might be able to figure something out in this rotation. And but you can't count out Pat McCrary either, who just puts his head down and works no matter where you ask him to work. So ton of options there, and that left guard spot is going to be really, really exciting. And then you're looking at our Darius Washington. You're looking at Geno Stone. You're looking at quite a few options. Nigel Warrior and those three, one of those guys is really going to probably carve out a role and make this team and be the third safety unless they go elsewhere and maybe sign a Trey Boston or something of the sort. But that to me is a big question mark. The Ravens protected Nigel Warrior, who was an all SEC player and kind of fits the same profile as a Deshaun Elliott, Chuck Clark type, a very physical kind of athletic safety who isn't necessarily this rangy ball hawk type, but can, you know, play special teams and hit and is going to be probably decently competent in coverage, but he's not going to be, of course, an Earl Thomas or, you know, Jesse Bates or Justin Simmons or whoever you want to say in this Ravens back end is a single high guy, but Warrior could be an interchangeable part. And then with Washington, he comes from a very different system that was really too high reliant, a lot of quarters, a lot of cover two, a lot of man two. And that's going to be fun to see his transition and someone who can really cut it up and go hit above his weight class and definitely has that chip on his shoulder, a guy who some people had second round grades on. And it was peculiar to see him fall that far, but you have to think it's because of his size. And you hear a guy like Chuck Clark mention his ability in a press conference from rookie camp. So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. And that ultimately could end up being, along with the offensive tackle three position, the two most important depth positions or the two biggest uncertainties right now where the Ravens really need to find some answers. So I mean, just thinking about it logically, to expect Villanueva, Clark, and Elliott, and I guess Stanley too, to all play a combined 64 games is unrealistic. So you got to think that safety three and maybe even safety four and offensive tackle three and maybe even offensive tackle four are getting snaps in 2021. So those are the places I'm looking in terms of needing answers. But the ones that are going to be fun are receiver, are, you know, what happens with the edge room and that left guard spot. Those are all going to be fun. I feel like those are going to get a lot of headlines. And then just kind of looking at the top of the receiver room, how much snap share is Rashad Bateman going to command? He's definitely going to get some run in preseason. He's going to get a ton of run in camp. And how that rotation figures itself out, you know, you're going to look at it and go, okay, well, Watkins can be the X, or, well, you know, Brown can be the Z or the slot, and then Bateman can be the Z or the X or the slot and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's twins, there's trips, there's all kinds of different assortments of what you can do with an NFL offense. So it's not going to be that cut and paste with guys playing the Z all the time and playing the X all the time and playing the H all the time. So it's going to be a little different. And then finally, I want to see what Josh Oliver can do. Guy who has tons of athleticism, can run the seam, and is he going to be able to establish himself? And then you'll also look at a guy like Ben Mason. So looking at that tight end room, and is Ben Mason going to be able to make himself a factor and impose his will on some preseason defenses? If he can, he might see some snaps early on in the season. And it's going to be interesting to see how all of those situations play out.
Yeah, for sure. Not just guys competing with each other, but, you know, you mentioned it, Spencer, guys are going to prove how much playing time they deserve, what they still need to work on. So training camp, they do have the battles there between players as they fight for roster spots, but also it's guys fighting for playing time as well, guys who are locks for the roster. But you mentioned Adafe Owe as someone who just where is he going to fit in year one? And in Bateman, you know, how is he going to fit in early on? And is he going to kind of see that J.K. Dobbins increase where, you know, Dobbins threw his first six games, 25 carries, and then, you know, absolutely bursts onto the scene after that. So all this different training camp stuff, it'll be interesting to dive into it over these next couple of weeks. And by the time cut down day arrives, I'm sure we'll have a much better idea of how the Ravens 53-man roster will look. But Spencer, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for coming on the show here. And when we get back next week, you know, training camp will be in full swing, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of football to talk about.
Absolutely. I'm excited to watch it all come to fruition, and I'll be here next week. Thank you so much for having me on, Kevin. Make sure to give the man who gives you the best daily Ravens coverage 5 stars. Share this podcast with a friend. Give him some love. Shout him out. Throw his work around. He deserves it. You guys get some good content from him, so reward the man. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks so much, Spencer. And be sure to follow Spencer on Twitter at Ravens for Dummies and check out his work on BaltimoreBeatdown.com. But that's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, we're going to get into your mailbag questions. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.